Hi, it's Margot. I hope you're doing well. Today I'm back for the second part of my interview with the artist Salt and Paper. If you haven't watched the first part, I will leave a link in the description box below. In the first part, we mainly talked about Salt and Paper's experience in the Kijomas OSTs. And in this episode, we mainly talked about his musical career, his latest album More Than Just Circles, and also his future projects. As always, I will leave all of his information and social media in the description box below, so don't forget to check it out. And I hope that you will like this interview as much as I do. It allowed me to get to know more about Salt and Paper creation process and also his view on art and his art in general. And I'm pretty sure that you will also find value in this interview and learn new thing, I guess. And finally, if you like this interview, don't forget to share, like, and subscribe. And don't forget to leave a comment and let me know your thoughts on this interview. I'm very curious about that. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it for the introduction. So without further ado, let's get started. And you talked about your other album, so maybe we can go to your latest album that is More Than Just Circle.
Yes.
Circles?
Yes.
Can you tell us a bit more about this album?
Well, I think the idea, I had it for a while, More Than Just Circles. I think it was just pretty simple idea, just based on like the cycle of life and reincarnation and things like that. It gets deep if you start thinking about that, but which the album or I am not very deep. But the title is sort of drawn from a deep concept. Just that, you know, there's really more that's going on when you have a life. It's rather short in the big picture, and you don't really realize that when you're alive, as you're aging and as you're going through life. But you know, your generations to follow you will have so many different lives to study and examine. Whether it's, you know, your parents, your grandparents, your ancestors, or, you know, the great thinkers or your favorite artists or whatever it is, you know, there's just endless amounts of great experiences that come through like different works, different arts, you know, different books or films. And it's just that idea, like as an artist, you have your favorite writers, your favorite singers and whatnot. All these different works of art that you really hold dear. And I feel like there's really more to one's life than just the actual life itself. You know, I guess that's that concept.
Okay, I see.
But I guess I started to attempt to experiment with that theme several albums before. I guess it started with the album called Often. Actually, you'd have to search MYK to find that album. That's kind of when I was transitioning from MYK to Salt and Paper. I started with MYK as my name when I started out with Epic High doing music, and then we had a collective called Map the Soul, which was Epic High and myself and a couple other friends. And that's really how I started making music and professionally and having a career. And I was doing what that music was, which is a lot of genres. We're always mixing our genres and stuff like that. But, you know, like what I was mentioning before, the foundation was very much hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
Although always incorporating other genres and, you know, instruments and things like that. But once we kind of moved on from Map the Soul, and I started making other music, I was discovered by a singer by the name of Lee Seung-hwan, who's a really famous Korean singer, who's sort of like has his own whole time period in Korean music that I feel like became his. But Lee Seung-hwan had found me and had found out that I was looking for like a new management and a new home, kind of, so to speak. And he had heard the music that I was making, which sounded like More Than Just Circles, which sounded like you know, Cheese in the Trap, which sounded like, you know, Look At from Dr. John. And he wanted to give me a new name. So he thought that MYK was MYK. You know, MYK has hip hop influences. He's a rapper who sings and who plays guitar. But then this music sounds different to me, he thought. So he actually granted me the name Salt and Paper. And then somewhere along the Salt and Paper album process, I got bored of the types of subjects that I was attempting to turn into song material. Not bored of it, but I guess I had done it, exhausted it too much. And I just really broke it down in my own catalog of favorites of like, what is all the music that I like truly like my favorite music? What are those all about? And I guess the universal theme is that of which we were talking about of like more than just circles, about, you know, just about the life experience, about life ending, about, you know, the loves that you come encounter with along the way and things like that. So I guess I just decided that's the universal theme. There's not really much else to turn into music, really. Mm-hmm. And so starting from Off In, and then the one after that was called Spin, and then you have More Than Just Circles. So to me, I feel like all three of those is kind of just like one album. So it's kind of like a three-part album. So they all share that theme of more than just circles, of just like the circle of life and just the life cycle and things to really hold on to before your life is over, I guess.
So the three albums kind of showcase the evolution of your craft, kind of?
Yes, they do. And also they sort of, you know, showcase the theme of all the same theme.
And for More Than Circles, do you have any favorite single, maybe, or favorite several ones, maybe, if you had to choose maybe three?
Three, okay. I like Fall Back Into You.
Okay.
Towards the end of the album, I like that one. Oh, I like Run Don't Walk, which is not my song. It's not. Okay. Has nothing to do with me at all. A close friend of mine wrote it for me, or for that album, so that I could put it in the album. Very, very generously gave me this amazing song, which I think that it kind of came out in a moment. I think I said, I said, hey, can you do a song for me for my album? I think it'd be really cool because it's going to go perfect with it, because your thing is going to fit perfectly. And then he's like, okay. And he just came over and he's like, here you go. But that one is by my friend Big Phony.
Okay.
You have to check him out. So you have Run Don't Walk, Fall Back Into You, and then a third one. I guess I can't think of a third one, actually. Those two are probably the best on that album.
Personally, I love Shine, Fire, and Ashes.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. Thank you. Actually, I like
especially
Fire as well.
Like this one.
I forgot about that one.
You started to talk a bit about that like previously, but can you tell us a bit more about your creation process? How do you find inspiration? Is it more like the result of an intense work, kind of? Like you're sitting at a table and you're saying, okay, I have to work on this song, I have to create something. Or is it more like going with the flow and finding inspiration through maybe working outside, going to the groceries?
It's definitely that now. It's going with the flow, going to the groceries, going to the park. And well, now it's different because now it's just, I just have to do it all the time. I just can't turn it off.
Mm-hmm. It's always at the back of your head.
Yeah, it's always at the back of my head, I guess. But then there were times where you sit at the desk and I have to do this. And that's a very painful process. In the beginning of those experiences, though, you do have really a lot of times great outcomes from doing that. So it's not to say that it's a useless process. It is painful, But since you have good outcomes a few times, you think that you, if you keep doing it that way, then you're going to always have good outcomes. But it doesn't really work in my experience like that. So definitely don't, I definitely cannot do it like that. But I guess a lot of it still is stuff that I don't know how to explain, or that I don't really like have a map for it. Mm-hmm. But I do know that I have to consistently have the habits of writing down the ideas or searching mm-hmm. for the ideas, whether it's on the piano or guitar. You always have to have those habits of finding little ideas and then saving those ideas, stacking them up, compiling them, like mm-hmm. keep them in a folder or keep them in a notebook. And then there's a process of going through all that messy kind of unorganized pile of ideas and picking out like the ones that you think sound cool.
Yeah.
And then pairing them with, you know, something that maybe you want to emulate from somebody you like, or so, oh, this reminds me that, I love John Lennon and it sounds like John Lennon, or, you know, it sounds like, I mean, it doesn't sound like John Lennon, but in my head to me, and then yeah. you put it together. And there's sort of that randomness to it, I think. Maybe excluding like a handful of songs. Sometimes it's like, you know, I wrote a song about my first son. It's like, okay, I'm going to write a song about my unborn baby, and I want to do that. Or mm-hmm. I wrote a song, you know, that's based on my mom's situation. I want to do mm-hmm. that, and then I'll do that. Or, you know, like my grandmother, when she passed away several years ago, it kind of moved me to make a song, and it ended up being a song called Sky, which mm-hmm. was a single okay. used for a compilation. There's a few, you know, scenarios where it's like very specific, you know, very motivated in a certain...
So you take inspiration from your real life?
Absolutely. I think that all of it is inspiration from my real life, because I think that I don't have that ability to create songs that are just for the sake of songs. Going back to the things I'd like to learn how to do, like I would like to learn how to do that. I'd like to learn how to know what chords go like this with what certain phrasings and what kind of repetitive things, what kind of tempos with what kind of this and that can you put together to create a song that's going to be like a radio song or something. You know, I've mm-hmm. definitely like anybody else, any other musician or artist I've definitely tried that like numerous times and just failed. It's not something I'm able to do. So yeah, everything is inspired from my real life, and it just has to be what's in my head or what's in my heart or what's going on with my mood or something like that, or with something I heard about or something that I'm thinking about. And then it has to be somewhere in there is where a song will sort of come out of, as long as I'm doing those habits of, you know, playing every day and writing a little bit here and there every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And through your music, how do you want to affect people?
I like to affect people the way that I've been affected by music, is just to bring happiness and joy and just something to put a soundtrack to your life. Like your mm-hmm. life is a drama or something. And then you have like a big event, like a friend's wedding, or, you know, a baby being born, a graduation or something like that. And then you there's always going to be a song or a music that's going to remind you of that, or be at that particular setting. And I think that's the biggest thing that you could possibly contribute as a music maker, is to be able to be a soundtrack to someone's life and their most special moments, I guess.
Mm. And I also like listen to some of your demos on your YouTube channel as well.
Oh,
I will leave like the link of your YouTube channel in the description box below. And I came upon some demos that I really like, such as Parallel Time Pass, entitled Demo, and verse.
Yes.
And I wanted to know a bit more about these demos. Do you plan on maybe adding them on Spotify?
I don't think I will. I don't think I will because I have so many of those that I've been doing over the last year or so, because I think, to be honest, it's been a little intimidating to label something as an album or something that's going to go on Spotify for some reason. And but I think now I'm getting to the point where I have enough material or I can do that again. But for the last few years, I think I've been a little bit intimidated by that. So I think there was a lot of transitioning going on. You know, we had the pandemic, but even before the pandemic, I had just moved back to California after living in Korea for 17 years, and having all the music, the career thing transition back here, and then pandemic, and then after that, right at the tail end of the pandemic is when we had our third baby. So all those things combined in a row of several years kind of gave me a lot of time to step back. But also at the same time, it sort of made me like hesitate a bit to call something an album or call something like a collective piece of work. But I'm grateful that I can just throw things on YouTube or throw things on, you know, my social media, and that, you know, there's a handful of people that they'll be able to hear it. Those probably won't go on Spotify, but then something will go on Spotify very soon. That will be better than those things. That will be...
Are you teasing right now? Is it a teasing for a future album?
Oh, yes. This is 100% teasing.
Okay.
That's really my future goal, is to just put out all this music that, you know, I've been just tinkering away with here in my room, you know. But I think it's cool that, I think it's really cool and really lucky, rather than cool, that I can just do it. I could just put it out. And I can just continue to put it out. Yeah, that time for that will come. But so yeah, Parallel Time Pass, that one, that was like a pandemic song. That was like when COVID first started, and it was like serious lockdown. Like, I mean, not seeing anybody, like not even saying hello to, you know, anybody on the street, like walking this way when somebody's walking this way. It was so weird to live in that environment at the beginning. And I think that, I don't know for you guys over there, but I think that everyone here was just so terrified. Not for no reason, but for later what seems to be like for not as terrified as we should have been. But essentially, like, we all just wanted to hide out and not leave the house. And then that song came out of that because I felt like I couldn't keep track of, like, if it was 2020, 2019 or 2020, or is it spring now? Or, you know, I didn't really know, like, what time of the year it was. It was like this weird, like, just bubble of existence that you were in. But at the same time, though, with our families at home, we sort of found this like routine and this like really sort of peaceful place, I think. So I think that song was about that, just about, you know, sort of trying to let go of some of that fear a little bit and just going along with what the world is going along with, but, you know, try to find some routine or some regular, you know, thing that you could do, even in your home life, I guess.
And were you able to create during the pandemic?
I think I was, yes. Yeah, I was able to create.
There's something that I like to ask is, I know that some artists like to have like some bunch of songs maybe on a file. Are you the type to do that? Do you have like a bunch of songs on a file that you will release maybe in a few months or years?
I do, yeah. I do.
So we can expect future albums and singles in the future?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I do. And then for some reason, though, the larger that pile of songs becomes for some reason, the more you want to do something else, like you
Okay.
rather than finishing, organizing, releasing, and letting go, you just want to like do something else. I don't, maybe that's like a greedy, a greedy writer's.
Yeah, or maybe it becomes intimidating to see all the work.
Yeah, I think that too. Like, you don't want to see something that you don't like or that doesn't sound good to you, I guess. But I do that though. I think little by little, I'm trying to, yeah, get rid of them. By get rid of them, I
Organize.
mean, you know, release them.
Releasing it.
Yeah.
So maybe we can go to your future project, the last part of this interview. So you hinted like previously, you made a small trailer that you will release a new album or maybe a new single, I don't know, in the future. Can you tell us a bit more about that? Maybe 2024?
I have to be completely honest. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. It actually, it must be this year. I think I'm gonna decide right now, but
So you have a deadline, so you
yeah.
have to.
Yeah, it's gotta be now, or it's gotta be 2024. I think I'm really overdue on it. Not in a sense of like discography or my Spotify profile or anything like that, but I'm overdue in the sense of like I've been keeping it in for too long, which at this point I think it's getting to be it's getting to have to be the end of that chapter. I in the beginning of that chapter though, I wanted to take the time and to not do anything and to just sort of be quiet as far as like an artist. But now I think I have to do it because, like, yeah, going back to the thing about keeping old songs on your hard drive, I think if you do that too much, I think there's a risk to that. I think if you hold on to it too much, I think that you'll eventually just get stuck there. Yeah, which I've realized, you know, reading different things or getting different types of advice from different friends and family. So I think in order to make the new stuff, in order to overcome any sort of challenge with creating new stuff, is that I have to let go and release all the old stuff. Yeah. So I would like to, yeah, do a 2024 as soon as possible. So I need to get to that.
And for the themes, do you think that it will be similar to More Than Just Circles or something more totally different?
There is a difference, I think, because when I was in that state, more than just circle state, I think I was more far more organized. I had a lot of things sort of mapped out, I guess, back then.
Okay.
Here, a lot of things, it's sort of very diverse and very abstract, and I'm not even sure if I would call them quote unquote like, you know, conventional type of song, or they're just sort of little sketches and things and musical ideas and things. But again, they might again turn into something different once they have to be finalized. But theme wise, it's hard to say. I think that they don't have a theme. I think they're just different thoughts, I guess. Rather than themes, there are thoughts.
Okay, I look forward.
Thank you.
I will follow your Instagram very carefully and waiting for your next album.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
And maybe are you open to future collaboration with other artists? Is it something that you will be interested in?
I think so. I think I'm always open to collaborations.
Do you have any name, someone that you would like to collaborate with maybe in the future?
I don't really know. I thought about that though, because you know, I had the question ahead of time. I couldn't really think of anything. But I would like to collaborate with a producer. I would love to. It'd be a dream come true one day if I could be produced by Rick Rubin.
Okay.
That would just be a dream come true. Yeah, that would be great. Yeah. I would love to go through his process and you know, have his guidance. Just also just based on what he does, I know kind of I've had experience with it being in that sort of dynamic with like a director or a producer, or even if you don't give that sort of title, but when there's, you know, there's somebody who's telling you like what you should do more of, or what you should do less of, or what
guiding you.
Yeah, just those kinds of things in his, you know, masterful, professional, you know, way, wise. I think that would be so cool. I would love to get that opportunity one day.
And apart from your future album in 2024, is there anything that you would like to achieve in the near future? Any goal? It can be music-wise or something else.
I really would like to learn all the new tools, you know, all the new tools and all the new ways of doing the old stuff. But then see, okay, if I learn those things though, then I feel like that I become something different, and maybe I do make the music I make the way that I do because of my lack of knowledge and ability to adapt to all the new tools and the new ways. But maybe that's an excuse as well. Maybe that's just a...
Yeah, it can be the feeling of maybe feeling like you're not totally yourself if you start to, like, doing... I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. There's that fear of losing your... not brand, but you're losing your voice or your character. But I think that I would like to get rid of that fear. And I would like to see if I can evolve it and evolve the content, you know, into bigger and better and more current, I guess, standard or quality. So yeah, I would love, I wish, you know, and I think every year I say the same thing and it just never happens. But I'm also on TikTok.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know what I'm doing on TikTok, you know, but it would be cool to, oh, because I remember Instagram came out, I was in my 20s or something, I think. Anyway, I started doing Instagram when it came out, so I remember learning, you know, how to post a picture and whatnot and do all that, but I can't seem to get that same type of experience with TikTok, so maybe that should be a thing to learn. It is such a cool new way of sharing music, and I think you gotta learn though, and you gotta really get the hang of, you know, how to do that, and yeah, that's one thing. As an old man.
And maybe, do you have any final words for the listeners? Do you want to say anything for the one who just discovered you, maybe the one who have been following you for a while now, and who are listening right now?
Well, I want to say thank you to Margot for inviting me to do this. I haven't had an interview in a very, very long time, and an English interview. I'm used to doing Korean interviews, and I'm used to not fully being able to communicate what I want to say. And today I'm not sure if I did, not because of the language, but because it's been so long. I think that because of you, you made me to reflect back a little bit, and okay, that's very cool. So I hope people listening were not too bored when I was like going off on a different tangent, but yeah, I hope that you can get to know my music more through this podcast and through the dramas that Margot's been introducing, and you can definitely hear certain songs that I wrote and that I contributed, or certain songs that I got to participate in singing that I did not write, but that were ended up being big parts of these dramas. And I hope that you find something you like, and if you do, that, you know, I can continue to bring you more of that similar type of content, and, you know, I'll always be providing the best music that I can, so hopefully, yeah.
It's a great way to maybe get to know you more, so I'm pretty sure that my audience will be happy to have this interview. I had some questions I wanted to, like, ask you, like, about satellites and all of your work, and I'm very happy to be able to talk to you and get to know you more. I think that most of my audience maybe know your songs or know the drama, but not necessarily that you are the person behind the song.
Yeah.
For certain dramas.
Yes.
So it's a kind of great way to put a face on the art, actually. The person behind the art.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. I think that I have like, there's a drama audience, and then there's like a Map the Soul and an Epic High and a Salt and Paper audience.
Yeah.
Which sometimes the two don't know each other. And
yeah. Hopefully they will be able to maybe get to know you more.
Yeah.
And listen to your other work as well, like your latest album and maybe your future album in 2024. Now you have a deadline. You have to do it for
now
2024.
I do. Yes.
Like, it's a lot of pressure now.
Yeah. I need the pressure, I think.
Yeah, it's important. Maybe sometimes you have some kind of pressure or something to get the work done. I will follow you very closely and see if you make maybe another OST next year. I hope so. I hope to see you more in K-dramas and movies as well.
Yes.
Let's hope. That would be great.
I hope so. Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing the interview and hearing from you.
Yeah.
Bye, Margot.
Bye.